clock. 20 degrees in Ottawa with the Humidex. It feels like 25. And I can tell looking out the window at Spark Street, it's a sunny day. Not so sunny for Andrea Cordonnier and her four children. In fact, it was a rather soggy week, I'm told. They've survived downpours, a leaky tent, some wet sleeping bags, and the stench that followed. But the five travelers have had plenty of highlights, too. It's week three of their cross-country tour. And when we last checked in with the Burt Rapids family, they were in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. They're on a nine-week trek to Vancouver and back again, and we've managed to catch up with Andrea on the road once again. Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Hallie, how are you?
It's not just you there. There's four kids with you there.
Yes, and they want to say hi, okay?
Yeah.
Hold on. Everybody?
Hi!
You caught all that with the echo in the background. We're sitting in the middle of Horseshoe Canyon, which is about 15 minutes outside of Drumheller towards Calgary. So
the kids...
And the downpour stopped, by the way. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much.
You know, the kids sound to be in high spirits. I don't know why I'm surprised.
Well, you know, they are right now. And just at any given time, you never know what you're going to get. But, yeah, we came through a bit of a soggy night last night. You know, I'm trying to just ignore the weather. That was kind of my goal, is just ignore the weather. When we got good days, we got good days. And when we didn't, we didn't. But you know what really cheeses me off is there's nothing worse than a soggy tent. And I spent a couple of hours steam sealing it the other night once I got it dried out from the previous soaking. And nothing helped. So there I was last night in my pajamas, rolled up to my knees with my rain boots on and my rain jacket, throwing the tarp over top just to save us from another soaking. So,
you know, anyone who's ever spent any time at all in a wet tent can smell what you've been experiencing.
Well, you know, it wasn't only the rain coming down, but I knew we were going to have the inevitable pee-pee sleeping bag.
And oh.
Yes, we did end up with the pee-pee sleeping bag, and yeah.
Well, yeah, those little porta-potties are awfully far away in the middle of the night.
Yeah, we usually don't make it to the porta-potties, actually, but we won't tell the campground managers that.
Okay. So you described it as a Horseshoe Canyon. What is around you? What can you see?
Wow. Now, this really looks like Badlands. It's a smallish canyon. It's not like the Grand Canyon or anything, but it has that same kind of feel. And so you get that layers, the worn away erosion, and you get the layers of color. I think there's probably some coal in here because I'm seeing a lot of black. And I know it's a big coal-producing area at one time. So some vegetation, quite rugged. The kids are now going, you know, further down into the canyon to kind of have a look around. And this is really kind of more what I expected in terms of Badlands. So
this is in Alberta, right?
This is in Alberta, and we're just outside of Drumheller, and just spent a few days in Drumheller, and it wasn't quite what I expected. I have to say, you know, everybody talks about dinosaurs and Drumheller being the place, but to me it reminded me vegetatively more like Kamloops. It was kind of more like that, and I'm told that, in fact, where most of the fossils and stuff come from and where you get into the real Badlands is over in Dinosaur Provincial Park. So there's my hot tip for listeners. If you really want to go see some stuff, you might be better off going to Dinosaur Provincial Park instead of coming to Drumheller. So.
Okay, dinosaurs, fossils, four kids under or 9 years old and under, they must have been in absolute heaven.
Yes and no. I don't have any particular dinosaur aficionado in the family. We actually have two of the boys, particularly my eldest, is more interested in human history. So, you know, Greece, Italy, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Probably would have been turning his crank a little more. But they loved being out hiking around, and we did manage to have three good days here in terms of sunshine. So we were able to get out to the hoodoos and that sort of thing. And then the two eldest boys went on like a junior dinosaur discovery adventure camp kind of thing for 3.5 hours and went and dug for some fossils and did some exploring. So they thought that was pretty cool.
How are they coping with life on the road?
Well, generally pretty good. You know what I notice is that when we're at home, I really, really make a point of having one-on-one time with each of the children every day. I find that really grounds them for the day. It sets the tone for the day, and it makes a real difference. And I find I'm getting a fair amount of competition for, you know, who's going to hold Mama's hand? You held Mama's hand. It's my turn. Who slept next to Mama last? That sort of thing. So I think that's the most challenging so far is there's only one of me and there's four of them. That means eight hands to my only two. So I need to grow a few extra and be an octopus mama, and I think that would be perfect.
What do you think's behind that, Andrea?
Again, change of routine, one adult versus two adults, plus my in-laws spend a lot of time with them as well. I think that that's what it is. I don't think they feel insecure or anything around what we're doing, because we're not doing anything, you know, terrifying or scary or anything. But I think it's just I'm the center of their attention and they're the center of their world on the road, and I think that that just shows.
Okay, so over the past week, what would you say have been the highlights?
Oh, my gosh. It's really been an action-packed week. I actually had to go back through my photos to remember sort of all the things we did, because I couldn't believe it had only 1 week had passed since Yorkton. And so we went to a place, we found a place called Manitou Beach, which was really, really off the beaten path. And when I read about it in the little local guidebook thing, it said the lake was like the Dead Sea. You could float in it like the Dead Sea. So you didn't, you know, you could float in the lake and read a book, and it was that salty. So I knew that, again, my eldest son was really keen on going to see the Dead Sea, and since we couldn't do that, we decided to go and check this place out. And it was it's a neat little village, and it's about an hour and a half out of Saskatoon, south of Saskatoon. And they have the mineral spring spas, and they had all this wonderful clay and mud and such. So, you know, we floated in the lake, and we stayed in the hotel there for a couple of days and actually went to the mineral spa. So if you saw me before and you saw me now, I look 10 years younger.
How about the lowlights, Andrea? Sometimes that makes for the bigger memories is the challenges that you overcome while you're on the road.
Yeah, it's the, you know, oh, gosh. I really thought going into this, I was hoping to get away from doing a lot of housework, right? That was sort of one of my main goals of being on the road. I didn't have to, you know, look after the house and yard and all that kind of stuff and just have a break from routine. But what surprises me is how much time I seem to be spending transitioning, whether it be, you know, putting up the tent, taking down the tent, washing the dishes, fetching the water, shopping for food every day because we don't have a fridge, you know, washing clothes, washing faces, and I probably walk the children 30 times to the washrooms, you know, every day. So it amazes me how much of time is kind of sucked into those mundane everyday tasks.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, you talked, you mentioned that there had been some bickering. Where do things stand now?
Yeah, again, I think it has to do with the, well, everybody's compromising. When you're traveling with five people, and I keep reminding the kids, there's five people. There's five people traveling, so nobody's ever going to get really what they want all the time. And I think that is also a source of frustration for them. I mean, I manage my expectations because I'm an adult, and I knew what to expect. So I can't go into all the pottery stores that I want to go into, for example. But, you know, when we went to the Royal Tyrrell Museum, for example, the older boys, particularly Dante, would have loved to have spent 2 or 3 hours in there going through the collection, you know, in some detail. And you know what, by the end of the day, the little kids were just burnt out, and we went into the little movie theater and sat and watched the movie theater, and both of them fell asleep. So, you know, Dante was frustrated about that. We had some tears about that, and I can understand his frustration, because you can't always get what you want when you're dealing with five people.
And so I predict those aren't the last tears that the kids will shed before this is you know,
exactly.
And I'm thinking about my own memories of traveling out west. Now, I understand from hearing your last interview that you're rendezvousing with your husband in a couple of days?
Yeah, on Thursday. I guess I better actually show up at the airport. He's arriving at 1 o'clock in Vancouver International, so if any listeners are going to be there at that time, look for a man. Hopefully he's carrying flowers if he's smart. And anyway, so we're going to pick him up on Thursday. So that's going to be, we're going to have a week of transition, I predict, and it's going to be transition for him. It's going to be a transition for me, getting used to having, you know, him along again and getting him into our routine as well. And then the kids, I bet you, are going to act up. I almost guarantee they're going to act up because he's around and they're not used to having him around for the last few weeks. So
I had a vision of you going, here, honey, here they are.
You don't think I thought about that? Of course I thought about that. I figure I'm going to give him about a day and a half's grace. And then once he's, you know, had a day and a half or so, I'm going to take off, phone up my friends, because, of course, I'm from Vancouver, so I'm going to phone a few friends and, you know, at least get out for a few hours off here and there, you know.
Andrea, thank you so much. Enjoy these last few days as a solo parent, and I'm sure your husband's looking forward to seeing the entire family.
Excellent. Yeah, and he'll be out for two weeks, and then he flies back, and we'll be turning around and heading east again. So
we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks so much, Hallie. Take care.
Thank you, bye-bye. Andrea. Andrea Cordonnier is our road-tripping mama. We'll check in with her again, as I mentioned, next Monday at this time. In the meantime, as she mentioned, you can email her suggestions of where to go as she travels across the country. Just go to cbc.ca/allinaday and click on Andrea's Trek.